The Syrian parliament sets to May the 26th for the presidential election, the second such vote since the start of the Western-backed war on Syria in 2011. Russia says it will hit back at the Czech Republic over the expulsion of 18 Russian diplomats on unfounded and absurd grounds. The Gaza Strip records its highest ever daily toll of coronavirus deaths as the besieged enclave struggles with a shortage of vaccines. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, the Syrian parliament says the presidential election will take place on May the 26th.
I invite those who wish to run for the position of President of the Syrian Arab Republic to submit their candidacies to the Supreme Constitutional Court within a 10-day period, starting Monday morning, April 19th.
Sabah said Syrians abroad will be able to vote in respective embassies on May the 20th. The vote will be the second presidential election in Syria since 2011. That's when Western-backed militancy began in an attempt to overthrow the government of President Bashar al-Assad. He won 88% of the vote in the previous presidential election held in 2014. If re-elected, President Assad can stay in office for another seven-year term. Mohammed Ali in Damascus says the upcoming presidential election is very important, as this time most of the Syrian regions are under the control of the government.
Those candidates, in order to become presidential candidates, they should also win the approval or votes of at least 35 members of Syria's parliament. The parliamentary elections will happen on the 26th of next month. This is a very important, election because this time most of the Syrian territories are under the control of the Syrian government and the Syrian army, unlike previous elections in which there were many areas controlled and occupied by terrorist groups. And that fact deprived and blocked many Syrians from taking part in those elections. And we have to point out also that if you ask Syrians on the street, it seems that most of them do actually want to vote for President Bashar al-Assad if he runs. Of course, they have to wait and see, because he is the president who won the majority of the acceptance of Syrians, because he led this war against terror on Syrians and also led the Syrian army in their victories against all of the terrorist groups that attacked Syria in the past 11 years.
Now it's time for this hour's news review. Russia has pledged to retaliate after the Czech Republic expelled 18 Russian diplomats over a 2014 explosion in an eastern Czech town. Moscow called the expulsions a provocation. It said the accusations that Russian intelligence services were behind the blast are absurd and unfounded. Russia said it's hard not to see the American trace here. It accused Prague of striving to please Washington. Prague expelled the Russian diplomats on Saturday following investigations into the blast that killed two people in an ammunition depot. The UK has backed the expulsions. It says Czech officials have exposed the links Russia will go to in its attempts to carry out what London called dangerous and malign operations. I'd like to welcome both my guests to this news review out of Moscow, Marina Kortanova, and out of London, Marcus Papadopoulos, historian, journalist, and author. Thank you both for being with us. Let's start it off in Moscow and hear that side of things. What's going on?
Well, good evening. With the coming to power of Biden administration, diplomatic scandals and accusations have rocked Russia almost every week. Also, the military exercises of NATO countries near our borders have intensified, and reconnaissance aircraft of the NATO coalition countries are intercepted in the air, even in the region of Kamchatka and the Far East. With Czech case, the Russian foreign ministry saw in the expulsion of its diplomats a desire to please the United States. The Russian foreign ministry expressed a strong protest to Czech authorities. They are being expelled, said that the Russian diplomats are being expelled under unfounded and far-fetched pretexts about the involvement of Russian special services in the 2014 explosion at military depots in the village of Vrbetice, the ministry said. It also said that the ministry promised to take retaliatory measures and says this is all the more absurd since earlier the Czech leadership blamed the explosions on the firms that own these warehouses. Commenting on the decision of the Czech authorities, the foreign ministry announced an American trace. And it says that in an effort to please the United States against the backdrop of recent U.S. sanctions against Russia, the Czech authorities have even surpassed their overseas masters in this respect. The foreign minister promised to take retaliatory measures that will make the authors of this provocation realize their full responsibility for destroying the foundations of the normal development of relations between Russia and the Czech Republic. A radical warming was outlined in the dialogue between Moscow and Prague. The Czech Republic was ready to purchase the Sputnik V vaccine and sent Deputy Prime Minister Jan Hamáček to Moscow on Monday. However, on Saturday evening, it became clear that instead of warming, bilateral relations will face a serious cooling. Okay. Moscow has already threatened that retaliatory actions will not be long in coming, and for Prague, this escalation may result in the expulsion from Russia of almost all of its diplomatic missions in full force.
Okay, stay with me, Marina. Stay with me. Let me get Marcus in on this discussion. Marcus, in your perspective, what is this all about?
This story is a peculiar but unsurprising one. Nonetheless, I will approach it as a proper court of law would approach it. First and most important of all, I demand evidence. Secondly, I need to know about the nature of those making the allegations. Let's take the first requirement, the most important requirement, first of all, evidence. The Czech authorities and their patrons in Washington and in London have put forward no evidence whatsoever. Even, I might add, evidence which could be regarded as flimsy to support their allegation that Russian special services have been interfering inside the Czech Republic. Secondly, the Czech authorities are only independent on paper. The reality about the Czech authorities, and the same can apply to Poland, and the same can apply to Hungary and Romania and Bulgaria and Serbia, is that these are not truly independent countries. They are vassal states of America and Britain. Now, with all that in mind, I believe that what we are seeing here is part of a concerted campaign by the Americans and the British to not just denigrate Russia in the eyes of the rest of the world, but also to weaken Russian influence in Europe. And the Czech Republic is a very interesting case because, with the notable exception of the Czech uprising of 1968, the Czechs and the Russians have very good relations with each other. Indeed, both countries are predominantly Slavic countries. And I believe therein lies a reason why the British and the Americans have now turned their attention to the Czech Republic, because the Czechs historically, with the exception of 1968, have close relations with the Russians. And for the British and the Americans, that is potentially dangerous. We should not also forget that initially the American Missile Defense Shield, which is today operational in Eastern Europe, in Poland and in Romania, was initially designated for Poland and the Czech Republic. But vast amounts of the Czech Republic opposed that and made their opposition very well known to the authorities. Therefore, the option of the Czech Republic partly hosting the American Missile Defense Shield was dropped, so it was moved to Romania. And it doesn't matter in the slightest bit that the British government is saying that the allegations are correct, or the BBC is saying that the allegations are correct, because both the British government and the BBC are not impartial parties to this. And I would add this as well. My own premise is this. When the British state, or when a representative of the British state says one thing, you should always think the other. So when they accuse Russia or Iran of supporting terrorism, the British state knows that it itself supports terrorism. So this is part of a concerted Western campaign against Russia.
Okay, and on that note, I appreciate both of you being with us for this news review. Marina Kortanova in Moscow and Marcus Papadopoulos, historian, journalist, and author out of London. Well, the Gaza Strip has recorded 23 new deaths from coronavirus during the past 24 hours. Now, that's the highest ever daily toll of virus fatalities there. According to the health ministry, the total COVID deaths in Gaza are now 761. The Palestinian enclave had largely been spared by the illness for much of last year. But in August, cases were recorded in its densely populated refugee camps and jumped in recent weeks. That comes as the Israeli blockaded territory struggles with the shortage of COVID vaccines. Gaza has so far received only 80,000 doses for the population of some 2 million. Authorities have imposed a curfew as part of measures to contain the disease. Ashraf Shannon in Gaza says the health system there could collapse soon as only a tiny portion of the population has received COVID vaccines.
A population of 2 million only received 80,000 doses of vaccine, which is enough to inoculate around just 40,000 people. Less than 1% of Gazans have been inoculated, while the Israeli regime that continues to place the blockade on Gaza has inoculated most of the population. Yes, the situation is extremely dangerous, and soon the health system could collapse because of this this COVID-19 pandemic that has entered its second wave in early March.
Iran's ambassador to international organizations in Vienna says the ongoing nuclear talks there are aimed at creating a vivid picture on the removal of anti-Iran sanctions. Qasem Qaribabadi said it is necessary to identify and list the required measures to remove the sanctions. He said the U.S. seriousness in its claims to return to the nuclear deal and its commitments should also be verified. The envoy also noted that the principles outlined by the leader of the Islamic Revolution are the basis for negotiations by the Iranian team. On Saturday, Iran's chief negotiator, Abbas Araghchi, said a new understanding is being reached, though serious disagreements remain that need to be addressed.
Iran's lead nuclear negotiator in Vienna, Deputy Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi, says a new understanding is being reached amid attempts to revive the Iran nuclear deal, known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA. Following a joint commission session with JCPOA signatories, Russia, China, Britain, France and Germany, Araghchi said negotiators can now start working on a common draft.
Drafting can begin at least in the areas where the sides share the same views. For that purpose, the Iranian delegation has prepared its drafts both on the nuclear measures and sanction lifting, and has presented its drafts to the other parties. And we believe these texts can form the basis for negotiations and a final agreement.
Although the nuclear measures that Iran needs to take to come back to full compliance are clear, there is less clarity when it comes to the list of U.S. sanctions that need to be removed.
China maintained that all U.S. sanctions should be lifted immediately. May it concern sanctions against Iran or its long-term jurisdiction measures affecting third country entities and individuals, including those on Chinese. So we are looking forward to such drafting exercise.
Iran has remained steadfast in its position that it will only act after verifying the U.S.'s removal of all sanctions, including those imposed additionally or relabeled under former President Donald Trump. Although there have been no direct talks between Iran and the U.S., American delegates in Vienna have been engaged in talks with the EU coordinator and the other JCPOA signatories. Iran's lead delegate says there are still some serious differences that need to be worked out. For now, the expert working groups have been tasked with engaging in more substantive work for the next few days. Homa Lesky, Vienna.
Well, Iran is marking its Army Day by staging limited parades involving only military hardware due to the coronavirus pandemic. The event this year mainly focuses on parading military vehicles and showcasing domestically built weapons inside selected Army bases across the country. Because of COVID-19, authorities decided to cancel the marches. In Tehran, various types of drones, tanks, anti-aircraft batteries, advanced missile systems, different kinds of electronic warfare systems were put on display. Iran has always maintained that its military might is for defensive purposes. And with that, that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thanks so much for staying with us.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shimanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of life.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, April 18th, 2021. I'm Atefer Fani hosting this program today. Listeners Special, as you may know, is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcasts. Or if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special, the Sunday program, is your program. It's your views that are important. So please keep us company until the end of the program. And the blessed month of Ramadan, regarded as the best month of the year for Muslims, has arrived. Ramadan is a time for Muslims to practice self-discipline, sacrifice, patience, and empathy. It encourages generosity and charity. In this holy month, all adult Muslims, except those who cannot fast due to different reasons, practice fasting from dawn to dusk every day. So happy Ramadan to all Muslims around the world. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very useful and important to us, especially to our technicians and engineers in IRIB English Radio. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners around the world. So, all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us. And here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Jacques Augustin from France, Mohammad Fazli from Malaysia, and Massimo Lombardo from Italy. All of them are our regular listeners. So, Jacques, Mohammad, and Massimo, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Many thanks. And a zillion thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read their emails and letters, including an email from Olmar Kovic from Sweden, one of our regular listeners. Also, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. And for your information, most of these emails and letters focus on the holy month of Ramadan, and most of them are congratulatory messages from our dear listeners. Also, we have an email from MD Salahuddin Dolar from Bangladesh, KP Munir from UAE, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. Also, your Clemens Hoffman, one of our old listeners from Sweden, has sent us an email. And the last but not the least is an email from Bangladesh. This email is from Kamal Hussein, who has sent us a congratulatory message on the holy month of Ramadan. Many thanks for sending us these emails and letters. After a short break, I will be back with all these kind messages. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and I'm really impressed, you know, by the load of these letters, emails, and messages, which most of them focus on the holy month of Ramadan. They are congratulatory messages. First of all, we have an email from Dr. Hemant Kumar from India. Dr. Hemant Kumar is one of our regular listeners who says, "May the blessed month of Ramadan be the harbinger of joy and prosperity to all Muslims around the world. And as the holy occasion of Ramadan is here and the atmosphere is filled with the spirit of love, here we hope this festival of beauty brings your way bright sparkles of contentment that stay with you through ahead. Happy Ramadan to IRIB family and all listeners." First of all, salam and greetings to you, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India. And please accept our deepest thanks for sending us this congratulatory message on the holy month of Ramadan. Happy Ramadan to you, Dr. Hemant Kumar, and happy Ramadan to all our Muslim listeners. As you know, the blessed month of Ramadan is the month of fasting, and it is a very important opportunity for self-building and expurgation of the soul and heart. May we achieve these characteristics during the holy month of Ramadan. Anyway, many thanks for sending us this message, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India. Write to us soon, Dr. Kumar. Also tell us your views about our programs, especially those on the holy month of Ramadan. Thanks again, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India. Also, we have an email from Bangladesh. This email is from MD Salahuddin Dular from Bangladesh. MD Salahuddin says, dear IRIB English Radio, greetings from Rajashi, Bangladesh. I am MD Salahuddin Dular from Bangladesh. It's a pleasure of me to inform you that I have been the father of a newborn baby boy. It is our first baby. His name is Muhammad Keshawar Hassan Shad. Please pray for our child that he will be honest, polite, and helpful to others. Salam and greetings to you, MD Salahuddin Dular from Bangladesh. So please accept our deepest thanks for sending us this email, and also accept our congratulations for your new baby boy. As you said, you named him as Muhammad, and that's great. Congratulations. Many thanks for sharing your good news with IRIB English Radio and our dear listeners around the world. That was great. We hope that your child, as you said, be honest, polite, and helpful to others. Thank you, MD Salahuddin Dular from Bangladesh. We wish you and your dear family all the best. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Please stay with us. Welcome back. From Sweden, we have an email from Olmar Kovic. Olmar Kovic is one of our regular listeners who says, dear IRIB English staff, actually this is English radio staff, many thanks for your prompt reply. I'm glad to see you take the matter of transmitter defect seriously. I listened to the latest listeners special by using Parse Today on the web. So good that this option exists, but the web is not my hobby medium. I love radio. I must not forget to send you my wishes for a joyful month of Ramadan. Of course, hampered by the coronavirus, but still with a special atmosphere and traditions. My wife Samka, 65, and myself, 86, live in isolation, but go out for a walk now and then. Our daughter cares for our good supplies. Spring is so beautiful this year to give us consolation. Wishing you health, hope, and all the best. Greetings to you, Olmar Kovic from Sweden, and many thanks for writing this really inspiring email to us in IRIB English Radio. So, you recently listened to listeners' special on the web, but you prefer radio, as you said. I think that's quite normal. Many people prefer traditional means, like radio. Traditional radio, yes, most people like it. I do too. Yes, traditional means of listening to radio is much greater than, I think, other ways of listening actually to media. And Olmar Kovic from Sweden, many thanks for sending us your congratulations on the holy month of Ramadan. But as you said, this Ramadan is hampered by the coronavirus. Yes, Muslims in different countries, because of the coronavirus pandemic, avoid gathering and or, for example, coming together for celebrations of this month. They stay home, but they practice the rituals of this holy month. Many thanks for sending us this congratulatory message. And as you said, you also practice your own pandemic era actions, like going for a walk with your wife and avoiding gatherings. Thank you. We also wish you health, hope, and all the best in your life. Omar Kuvik from Sweden, write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. Many thanks. Also, we have an email from KP Monir from the UAE, one of our regular listeners. KP Monir from UAE says, let's celebrate the beautiful and blessed month of Ramadan, filling our life with happiness and bliss, as Allah bless us once again with prosperity. Happy Ramadan to all Muslims around the world. First of all, salam and greetings to you, KP Monir from the UAE, and many thanks for writing this message to IRIB English Radio. Happy the holy month of Ramadan to you and to all Muslims around the world. May we reform our soul and heart in this holy month, which is the month of God. Thanks a lot for sending us this congratulatory message, KP Monir from the UAE. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Please stay tuned. Welcome back. Again from Bangladesh, we have an email from Kamal Hussein. Kamal Hussein from Bangladesh says, dear staff at IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. I wish you all a very happy and a blessed month of Ramadan. May Allah accept your good deeds and prayers. I also pray to God in this blessed month to ease the suffering of all people around the globe. Happy Ramadan. Salam and greetings to you, Kamal Hussein from Bangladesh, and happy Ramadan to you and all Muslims in your country and around the world. Many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. We also wish you a very happy and blessed month of Ramadan. And as you said, may Allah accept our deeds and prayers. And also, we like you pray to God that in this blessed month, God eases the suffering of all people around the globe, especially the Yemeni people, the Yemeni civilians, and especially Yemeni children. Again, many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. Kamal Hussein from Bangladesh, write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. Wish you all the best, Kamal Hussein. Also from Sweden, we have an email from Jörg Clemens Hoffman from Sweden. Jörg Clemens has sent us a message, a short message. Jörg Clemens says, dear friends at IRIB English Radio, may the spirit of Ramadan stay in your heart and illuminate our soul from within. Happy Ramadan. Salam and greetings to you, your Clemens Hoffman from Sweden, and many thanks for writing this congratulatory message on the holy month of Ramadan. I don't know whether you're a Muslim or not, but thanks a lot for sending us this congratulation on the holy month of Ramadan to us in IRIB English Radio, and of course to our dear listeners, to our Muslim listeners around the world. As you said, may the spirit of Ramadan stay in our heart and illuminate our soul from within. We wish you all the best, and we wish you all the good things in this holy month. Jörg Clemens Hoffman from Sweden. Jörg Clemens, write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you in the future. We wish you all the best. Thank you. Wishing you all the best in the holy month of Ramadan and all the time. We wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and have a good time.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.passtoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/passtodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
الله يا الله سبحان الله الله يا الله والحمد لله الله ولا إله إلا الله الله يا الله والله أكبر.
I invite you to listen to a short part of chapter 9 of the book Sirrussalat, The Secret of Prayer by Imam Khomeini, chapter 9 entitled On the Secrets of the Time. The Isha prayer is for the time when the grave and the resurrection day is dark. This darkness will be removed by such prayer and the bridge will be illuminated for them. But the morning prayer is from the very beginning of light, dawn, up to the time before rising the sun in another world, by tongue of the mystic ones from the beginning of the vanishing the darkness and appearing the real light. Establish worship at the going down of the sun until the dark of night, and the recital of the Quran at dawn. Lo, the recital of the Quran at dawn is ever witnessed. Chapter Isra, verse 78.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio, and I'm your host Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi. We are with another saying of Imam Khomeini, and he refers that we all have a duty to be purified so that we may be able to benefit from the lights of God and the Quran. Because we are in the month of Ramadan, therefore, we need to pay more attention towards our deeds. If we pay more attention towards our deeds, that is the only chance where we can change ourselves, where we can combat with ourselves, with the worldly desires, with the mortal desires. In the Quran, chapter 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that هذا بيان للناس وهدى وموعظة للمتقين. This Quran is a clear statement for the mankind. There is a guidance in it for the God-weary ones. Now, the statement of Imam Khomeini, which I just mentioned in the beginning of the program, was that we all have a duty to be purified so that we may be able to benefit from the lights of God and the Quran.
كم أهواك يا شهر الصيام أنا لن أنساك فأنت في قلبي دائما تمضي الأيام ودعائي كل عام ربي تقبلنا يا ربي بلغنا بلغنا رمضان
The verse which I mentioned, Allah said that it is a clear statement, there is an admonition, there is an advice for the people, there is a guidance for the people who are God-weary. Now, we cannot gain the benefits of the Quran, we cannot benefit from the Quran, we cannot benefit from the light of God, we cannot have the admonition or the guidance from the Quran unless we purify ourselves. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning. He says that this admonition, this guidance is for those who have taqwa. So we need to first have taqwa in order to benefit from the light of God and the Quran. So if we want to benefit from the light of Quran in this holy month, if we want to benefit at most in this month, we need to first purify ourselves, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
From the heart of beautiful Iran.
In the limelight.
Anti-war activists warn that the UAE agreement, which will likely take years to complete, would put more high-tech weaponry under the control of a country that has shown complete disregard for human rights in Yemen and elsewhere. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Jake Johnson Ryder. This article is published under the heading Shame: Biden to advance Trump-era sale of $23 billion in F-35s and armed drones to UAE. Stay tuned for the details, please. The Biden administration has reportedly informed Congress that it is planning to advance a $23.4 billion sale of weaponry to the United Arab Emirates that was inked under former President Donald Trump, a move Anti-war critics denounced as a betrayal of President Joe Biden's recent pledge to end U.S. support for offensive operations in Yemen. One of the major members of the Saudi-led coalition that has been bombing and strangling Yemen since 2015, the United Arab Emirates, is set to receive 50 F-35 fighter jets, more than a dozen armed drones, and billions of dollars worth of munitions from the U.S. if the deal receives final approval. A State Department spokesperson told HuffPost on Tuesday, April 13th, that the administration intends to move forward with these proposed defense sales to UAE, even as we continue reviewing details and consulting with Emirati officials to ensure we have developed mutual understandings with respect to Emirati obligations before, during, and after delivery. The spokesperson would not comment on the New York Center for Foreign Policy Affairs' ongoing lawsuit against the State Department over the sale, which the nonprofit group says is illegal. It is our hope that the Biden administration would put mitigating a humanitarian crisis of global proportions before putting arms in the hands of an aggressor nation like the UAE. Justin Russell, principal director of the New York Center for Foreign Policy Affairs, told HuffPost, referring to UAE interventions in Yemen and Libya. Shireen Al-Daimi, an assistant professor at Michigan State University, said the decision to advance the $23 billion weapons sale is more evidence that Biden's pledge to end the war on Yemen was only performative. In December, the then Republican-controlled Senate voted down a resolution that would have blocked the Trump White House's lame duck arms sales to UAE, prompting calls for Biden to swiftly cancel the deal upon taking office. During his first week in the White House, the Biden administration imposed a temporary freeze on arms sales to Saudi Kingdom and said it would more closely examine the UAE deal. At the time, the UAE ambassador to the U.S., Yusuf Al-Otaiba, evinced no concern about the move, saying that the UAE anticipated a review of current policies by the new administration. Anti-war activists warned that the UAE agreement, which will likely take years to complete, would put more high-tech weaponry under the control of a country that has shown complete disregard for human rights in Yemen and elsewhere. Just as you can predict the consequence of selling a loaded pistol to a serial murderer, you can anticipate the damage that will be wrought by this arms deal. Michael Eisner and Sarah Lee Watson of Democracy for the Arab World Now wrote for The Nation in December. The UAE has a well-documented track record of using its advanced weaponry to launch aggressive and unlawful incursions into other countries, engaging in systematic human rights violations and war crimes along the way. Kate Kaiser, policy director at Win Without War, said on Tuesday, April 13th, that allowing the UAE deal to proceed is an absurd decision that flies directly in the face of President Biden and Secretary of State Antony Blinken's state commitment to centering human rights in U.S. foreign policy. We have to stop choosing political expediency over human rights, Kaiser added. Philip Nassif, Advocacy Director for the West Asia North Africa region at Amnesty International USA, said in a statement on Wednesday, April 14th, that these are not the actions of a president committed to upholding human rights in the United States and abroad. The United States drones could be responsible for UAE attacks that violate international humanitarian law and kill, as well as injure, thousands of Yemeni civilians, said Nassif. The Biden administration must resolutely refrain from supplying weapons that could be used in the conflict and not transfer weaponry to the UAE or risk complicity in likely war crimes across the region, including Yemen, he added. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5, and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Ayatollah Khamenei's opinion on the blessed month of Ramadan.
Some of the characteristics of the month of Ramadan. Certain characteristics of the month of Ramadan have been mentioned in the du'as recorded in Sahif al-Sajjadiyah or other books. The month of Ramadan has been referred to as the month of penitence and the month of surrender, which is in Sahif al-Sajjadiyah. The meaning of surrender is identical to that of the word submit in the ayah. And whoever submits himself wholly to Allah and He is the doer of good to others, he indeed has taken hold of the firmest thing upon which one can lay hold. The Holy Quran, chapter 31, verse 22. Whoever submits himself wholly to Allah means surrendering one's heart and soul and making them submissive to divine will, divine orders and sharia. Ramadan has also been referred to as the month of purification, which means that Ramadan contains a quality that purifies people from impurities. When an impure precious metal like gold is placed inside a furnace, it is purified. Purification means purifying human soul of impurities.
رمضان يا شهر القرآن فيك أذوق حلاوة الإيمان لا لا تنقضي أنت للروح دواء رمضان ليتك دوما قريب
People benefit from speaking to Allah the Exalted during Ramadan. People benefit from speaking to Allah the Exalted, being addressed by Him, praying to Him and opening up their hearts to Him. They do these by reading the prayers of the month of Ramadan, reading the Abu Hamza al-Thumali dua and the duas that one reads during the days, nights and early mornings of Ramadan are actually a kind of speaking to God, making requests from God and getting close to God. These people benefit from these things too. Therefore, they benefit from all the blessings of the celebration. Avoiding sins is of higher priority and perhaps it is more important than these duas in some ways. These people do not commit sin in this month either. In the same sermon, which was delivered by the Holy Prophet ﷺ and the Commander of Faithful ﷺ, asked the Holy Prophet, which act is the most blessed act? The Holy Prophet ﷺ answers, avoiding sins. Avoiding sins is of higher priority than Islamic obligations. It prevents one heart and soul from corruption.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.